Now, in our meditation, as most of our listeners know, we are going through a series of studies in Psalm 119. And today we come to what is referred to as the seventh stanza, beginning at verse 49 and going through verse 56. Let me read these eight verses to you now. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had, because I kept thy precepts. I'm sure again the Lord will bless to us even the reading of his own precious word. You could well write at the top of these verses, spiritual assets. Might I ask all my listeners today, do you ever stop and take an inventory of your life? I'm sure that people who are in business have got to take inventory. If they didn't, there's the possibility that the business might go bankrupt. But time and time again, a businessman has got to stop, spend time looking at his assets and his liabilities. He takes inventory. Well now, it seems to me that that's a good thing even in life, especially in the life of a Christian. We should stop and take inventory. It seems to me that's what the psalmist is doing in these verses. If you care to look at them, you'll find that he's speaking in terms of remembering. Verse 49, he says, remember. Verse 52, he said, I remembered. Verse 55, he said, I have remembered. And so you see, he's thinking back. And so he's bringing certain things to remembrance. Now, as you go down through this beautiful section of the psalm, you'll find that he expresses quite a number of things that are assets to him. First of all, there is the asset of hope, or if you like, confidence. And then in verse 50, there's the asset of comfort. In verse 51, he speaks of consistency. In verse 52, there's contemplation. In verse 53, there is concern. In verse 54, there is cheerfulness. In verse 55, there is consolation, and in verse 56, there is calculation. Spiritual assets. Now remember, this is the seventh stanza in this wonderful psalm, and it portrays to us the experience of the man of God when he is passing through difficult times of affliction, and his enemies are pouring ridicule upon him. However, he is thrown back upon the promises of God as they are revealed in the written word, and he sits down to estimate his spiritual assets. Now we want to apply such an idea to ourselves. I'm sure of this, my friend. If you are a Christian, whether you have been a Christian for many years, or just for a brief time, already I suppose you have passed through some trying and difficult time of affliction. Things have come upon you that you didn't anticipate. It may even be that people that you thought would be your friends have been pouring ridicule upon you as they did to David. That being so, what do you do in times of difficulty? Notice what he did. The first thing he marks down in his inventory is the asset of confidence or hope. When he says, "Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope." Now you see, we're cast back upon the Lord. Just as David felt himself thrown upon God when he was passing through times of difficulty, so you and I are cast upon God. And then, when we think of the Word of God, as we saw in our last meditation, that becomes the basis for our confidence. Now, if he has caused us to hope in his Word, we have placed our confidence in his Word, then nothing shall move us, even in the midst of all our difficulties. Now he says, "This is my comfort in my affliction." Not only has he got confidence in the Word of God, but it brings him comfort. I suppose that every Christian at some time or another has felt themselves brought into the position where they require to have some kind of comfort. Now, think of David. He realized this, that when God makes a promise, that he could rest assured that God will not fail to fulfill that promise, even to the last detail. Now, if that was true in his case, it's true in ours. If the Bible states that God has blessed us with every kind of spiritual blessing in Christ in the heavenlies, it is our privilege to go in and possess our possessions and enjoy every blessing that God has placed at our disposal. Now, it is possible, of course, for God to make the promises, and yet for us to fail to go in and possess them. For example, away back in the Old Testament, when God brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt, and he brought them right up to the borders of the Promised Land, the land was before them. "Go in and possess the land with all its blessings." God provided the blessings, but the people, because of their unbelief, failed to go in. You see, after all, God has promised us comfort. Now, if there's comfort for us, we should be ready to take this great blessing. We need to be comforted. Now, here in this verse, the psalmist takes his position as a servant and is recalling the word of his Lord. He says, "Remember the word unto thy servant." It suggests that David takes the place of absolute subjection to his master, and with confidence in the word of his Lord, he believes that every promise is genuine, and the Lord has not caused his servant to hope in vain. The Christian's hope is like an anchor to the soul. And when the storms of life are raging, the anchor of hope can take a firm grasp upon the solid rock of the Word of God. The hope which is fixed on the sure basis of the promises of God will never be disappointed. For the Lord will honor every expectation which he has raised in the heart of the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have an anchor in the soul, steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Now, in verse 50, the psalmist declares his second asset in these words, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." He doesn't state the exact nature of his affliction, but makes it perfectly clear that some severe trial had come upon him, and in the midst of his trial he was in need of comfort. When the Lord Jesus Christ was about to leave his disciples and go to Calvary, he promised them that he would send another comforter. That seems to suggest that when he was with them, he was a comforter to them. But now he's going away and he would send another comforter. So God has made a full provision for our comfort through the indwelling Holy Spirit. Plus, we have the comfort of the sacred scriptures. And we have the comfort which can be experienced by having fellowship with other Christians. As Paul wrote to the Christians in the city of Corinth and said, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our affliction, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." The Holy Scriptures can sustain and stimulate. And when David was weak and ready to give up, it was at that vital time that the Word of God quickened him. And in like manner, we also can draw comfort from the Holy Scriptures in our day of adversity because of the sustaining power of hope and comfort. The psalmist adds another asset to his list when he says, "The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law." Here it is a matter of consistency in the face of severe difficulty. When affliction strikes a godly person, the proud enemy is sure to insinuate that his religion and piety is just so much useless folly. But in spite of all their jeerings and the word of derision, David continued steadfastly in the law of the Lord. Might I suggest also that when the Christian is passing through these times of difficulty, and when the enemy is jeering and casting all kind of aspersions on the Christian's faith, that's the time when we need to draw our comfort from the indwelling Holy Spirit, and draw our comfort from the written Word of God, and draw our comfort from having fellowship with other Christians. It's a wonderful thing when we're able to say with the psalmist, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." You see, it's what we draw from the word that stirs us up once more. And it helps us to continue going on consistently in the things of the Lord. At this point in his meditation, he appears to pause for a little reflection. And a sanctified memory can be a great asset in times of affliction. So the psalmist says, "I remembered thy judgments of old." I wonder, what judgments do you think David was thinking about? You see what he says, "I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself." Here we have the asset of contemplation. He's sitting down and he's taking time to think. He's bringing to remembrance how God has acted in the past. He's contemplating God's movements and how God works. Now I ask you again, what judgments do you think he was thinking about? Perhaps he thought of the judgment that fell upon ungodly men in the days of Noah, when the flood came and took them all away. Had they scoffed, as it were, and jeered at righteous Noah, the man who was a preacher of righteousness, and no doubt a man who lived a righteous life in the midst of ungodly men? Did they scoff at his testimony? Were they jeering at the work he was doing, building the ark? Had they done that? Had they despised the warnings he gave? If so, they suffered the consequences under God's righteous judgment. God's decrees are always right, no matter what sinful men may say. And so we can comfort ourselves with this assurance that whatever God has purposed will be brought to pass for His glory and our good. Again, you will remember, God acted in judgment upon the cities of the plains at the time He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, but He delivered Lot at that time. God also acted in judgment upon the Amorites, who occupied the land of Canaan when the children of Israel were brought in to possess the land. Because the iniquity of the Amorite was full, and it was a righteous God who meted out judgment to them. Perhaps these were some of the things that David was remembering when he said, I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Therefore the comfort he got from this was the fact that God will always do what is right. But now, verse 53 shows something else. Here is another side to David's life, and this may appear to be a strange asset when he says, Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Here the psalmist has his credit and the asset of concern. Now, one may rejoice in the blessings which God hath bestowed upon us, but the heart is filled with horror as we contemplate the solemn fact that wicked men have despised and forsaken the law of God. And in their folly they rush on in sin and appear to be oblivious to the coming storm of judgment. When David considered such a situation, he was greatly concerned for the welfare of such people. And so is every genuine Christian. It is a vexing situation to witness civilized, educated people deliberately turning away from God and willfully forsaking the divine principles. This is a serious matter with eternal issues at stake, and is great cause for concern, as men hasten on to eternal doom and will not turn to the Lord for salvation. This burden of concern has been the motivating force in leading thousands of Christian missionaries to leave the comforts of home and endure the privations and hardships of strange lands in order to proclaim the glorious gospel of the grace of God, and thereby seek to win men and women from their evil ways. As the psalmist draws this stanza to a close, he counts two other assets, which are a real blessing to him. He looks upon his life as being a pilgrimage, and as he journeys, he meditates upon the things of the Lord. And at the end of the day, he finds a house where he can shelter and rest until the morning. However, it would be the custom for all the travellers to gather in the evening to talk and to sing and to recount the experiences of the journey. So says the psalmist, when it is my turn to sing, then the theme of my song will be the statutes of the Lord. You see, he's going to be a very cheerful man at the end of the day. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. You've got the thought now. He's on the journey. He reaches the inn, as it were, the hotel, the motel, you call it what you like in present day language. He reached the house where he was going to live for the night. He's with the guests, but he's going to be very cheerful here. And when his turn comes to sing, why, he's going to sing about the statutes of the Lord. This is a tremendous asset. When a believer can sing the praises of his Lord, even when passing through a hostile world, and in the midst of people who don't know or understand the ways of the Lord. When the Lord puts a new song in the mouth, then we are able with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to make melody in our hearts unto the Lord. Then he concludes this stanza with the great asset of consolation as he recounts, I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. See, public profession may be fine, but what a man is in the secret hours of night is the real test of his character. Reflecting upon the hours that have passed, we can give thanks to God for his blessings. And contemplating the day that lies before us, we can conceive of the benefits which we derive from being faithful to the word of the Lord. And thus, we are strengthened for the pilgrimage of another day. Stop and take your spiritual inventory. Write up your assets. Count your blessings and see what God has done. Now you see, as he is nearing the end, and he says, I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night. Isn't it wonderful then, at the close of day, and when the darkness of the night has fallen, his thoughts go back again to the Lord. You see, he remembered the word at the beginning, the word upon which God had caused him to hope. I have remembered thy judgments of old, he says. And now he says, I have remembered thy name, O Lord. And so in the night watches, he gets consolation from the fact that he's thinking, he's remembering all that's bound up in the name of the Lord. And then he says, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. But now, the closing little verse, he says, this I had. Now, all these assets that he's been talking about, every blessing that is his, he says, because I kept thy precepts. You see, there are some promises of God, some blessings of God, which may be unconditional. There are other blessings which are conditional. And so therefore he's thinking here of things which are conditional. This I had because I kept thy precepts. I may remind you again that the prodigal in the far country had not kept the precepts of his father's house. Therefore, he was not enjoying the blessings of his father's house. But here now is something we can calculate well on this. He said, these are the things I have, so count your many blessings. See what God hath done. Count them, my friend. Count them one by one. Count up your assets, take inventory, and you'll be sure then to give God all the thanks.